feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Father Larry Richards is back. He's in the house.
I mean, you're back. I was here last week. You were at Gallivanting.
You know, you won't cut me any slack.
Maybe. I cut slack. I'm just saying that's where it was. And I did a fine job, though, just in case you're wondering.
I can go get him if you'd rather.
That's fine. I'm just telling you.
We have a special treat for our YouTube viewers today and our Facebook Live viewers today because I have something caught in my teeth and it's driving me crazy. So,
oh, my gosh.
It'll be everything I can do to not put on a show for all of our people that are watching.
There you go. Just they should get a close up of you, real close to your face. I think that's what they should do.
why would you subject people to that? I mean, really? Come on now.
No cross, no crown. It is the feast of the exaltation of the cross.
That was well done, my friend. The number to be on the program is 1-800-585-9396. It's toll free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send Father Larry an email. Email us openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text us, text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response, text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. We talked the new evangelization on EWTN's Open Line Thursday. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Michael McCall producing the program. Matt Gubensky is your call screener, and Mr. Jeff Burson is handling all of our social media endeavors. And our host, as he is every single Thursday, whether I'm here or not, Father Larry Richards, how are you?
I am blessed up here. How are you down
there? You know what?
There?
I am blessed and happy to be here.
Did you get any rain in that last week?
Yeah, we did. We got like 3 straight days of rain from the Irminator.
Irma.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be in Venice.
But it was like winter.
This week.
Yeah, it was like winter.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was like in the 50s during the day for 3 days.
Wow.
It's back up and it's summer again today, but it was, it was really bizarre. And I think, you know, really it was probably a blessing because the cold air probably kept her from being any more angry than she was by the time she got here. But she was, there wasn't a whole lot to her left by the time she got to us. It was really a kind of a steady drizzle, I think would be an accurate description for 3 days. And, certainly, and really it was much better for our brothers and sisters in Florida than it could have been. Our heart goes out to the folks in the Caribbean who took the brunt of her anger.
Absolutely.
You know, we remember the folks also, Father Larry, in the upper Midwest, in Montana, westward, where the fires are raging, and we've got the folks that have suffered through the earthquake in Mexico City. It always seems, you know, people, you know, you start hearing all these end time discussions when stuff
exactly.
like this happens.
Yeah, exactly. Promises.
Yeah. But exactly. Oftentimes it seems like these sorts of things kind of come in clusters, you know, and that'll be, you can put that on your list of what you would like to ask our Lord when you see him face to face.
Exactly. I'll say, why, oh, why? And he'll say, you just trust me. Oh, gee. Okay.
There you go. So, Father Larry, we've talked about the fact that by virtue of our baptism, each and every one of us has a call to be an evangelist and to bring other people to our Lord. And, you know, this really should ripple out from our immediate family and the people that are put in under us immediately, you know, our children, if we're married persons with children. You know, our spouses and our children should certainly come first in the evangelistic ring, but it doesn't stop there. And we have a mandate to take our Lord to everybody because he's for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think we lose sight sometimes of the fact that it's not just the people that we're comfortable talking to that need the gospel message of Jesus Christ?
It's every single person that God brings into our life. And it's just, again, when we sit there and know that that's our call. I'll never forget when I was brought to Christ by Billy Graham when I was a kid, a Baptist. Yeah, I know. But I sat there and I thought, you know, my goal in life got to be everybody I ever meet to bring them to a relationship with Jesus. Why? So that they can live forever. Why? Because you love them. Now, why? Because that's what God wants of them. And if you and I say the Lord's Prayer every day and we say, your will be done, and then he says, okay, this is my will for you. I want you to bring your brothers and sisters with you. Now shut up. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. And so we got to sit there and stop telling God what we want him to do for us. And we got to start listening to what he tells us he wants us to do for him. And that is bringing people to a relationship with him.
All right, Father Larry, you are international.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to the phones before we step away here for the a little bit, because we've got Renato is on the phone in Montevideo, Uruguay.
Wow.
Renato, hey. You're on with Father Larry. He's listening on the EWTN app, by the way.
Hello. It must be late there, huh? Renato?
Hello, Father.
Hello.
What time is it there?
I think it's the same as it is here.
Four in the afternoon.
Yeah.
About four in the afternoon.
Okay, an hour ahead of us. What's up?
Yeah.
What can we help you with? I am blessed. How are you?
I am blessed myself. Thank you. And it's a big pleasure and an honor being able to share words with such a holy priest. Father Larry, I wanted to ask you something regarding ecumenism because, you know, one of our Lord's greatest desires, I mean, maybe his greatest desire, which he manifested, was that we be one as he and the Father are one. So when it comes to ecumenism in general that you know of, is there a project or some type of blueprint, something that has been brought forward in the past maybe, or maybe at present, something that is, so to say, on the table that somebody's looking at to see if we can finally come together? Or is this more like something that we're like waiting for something to happen, like a miracle or something like that? Could you please shed some light on that?
Sure. The Vatican, especially under Francis, Pope Francis, has been doing lots of initiatives. And we've been doing them for way before Francis. Under, you know, John Paul II, he used to meet with interreligious dialogue all the time. And he used to take all kinds of criticism for it, that he didn't even do such things. But I think that a lot of it has to happen. We've had joint statements with the Lutheran Church about, you know, how we can all say that we're saved by grace. You know, and that's, we can agree on the core. It's the things when it goes beyond that that we have to still work out and still pray for that unity. But I think the biggest thing is when we in our where we live, when we start working together with the people around us, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters, other people are there, and we pray with each other, and we love each other, and we serve with each other. Those are the things that can start bringing unity. Instead of, because we always have, they have the same of us. They look at us with great suspicion. We look at them with great suspicion. But we got to look at them as our brothers and sisters and start working. And, you know, we can all serve the poor together. Whether, you know, anybody can serve the poor. We can do it together. We can do it, or atheists, you know. But we need to start focusing on what brings us together and working what we can work on together. Now, we can't have, you know, communion together, but we can do a lot of other things together, you know. So I think it all starts in the grassroots, and then it continues with everything. That's the way the church started. It started with the grassroots on up, and I think we can continue to do that kind of stuff. And there's programs like Alpha, which we use here, that do a lot of things together. Like, this is the basic stuff that we can all agree on. So there are things out there that we can do, and there's things that the church has been doing also. Does that help you, Renato?
Oh, yes. Father Larry does help a lot, and that gives me a lot of optimism looking forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling us. God bless you.
God bless you, Renato. Straight ahead, we're going to talk to Josephine in Lourdes, France, Father Larry, and we may even talk to some people from the United States. Who knows?
There you go.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. But just like these first two callers, you can reach us at 1-205-271-2985.
Colleen Kelly Mast.
I cannot even count the number of times that God has clearly shown me his power and love when I continue to say yes to him. He provides for our needs. Even standing at the funeral home during the wake of my late son, the Holy Spirit kept singing in my head, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I didn't feel very strong at the time, but I knew that God was holding me close.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of September is that our parishes, animated by a missionary spirit, may be places where faith is communicated and charity is seen.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her. I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Hello, this is Bishop Ronald Gaynor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
This is Michael Warsaw, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN.
This is Father Mitch Pacwa. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Forget about being nationwide. Father Larry is global today on EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Next stop for us, Lourdes, France, where Josephine is listening to EWTN Radio. Josephine, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Josephine.
Well,
how is Lourdes? It's one of my favorite places in the world.
Well, you'll have to come and visit us then, won't you?
Oh, I have been, but it's been a while. It's been a couple years since I've been over
you'll
there.
You'll have to come back.
There you
go. I only discovered you quite recently through the grace of the Holy Spirit, actually, because
you
I've been invited to the United States to give a talk, and I was at Adoration praying for guidance to the Holy Spirit, and that night I discovered you, and I have become more than a fan. I'm almost, I could say, a groupie.
Oh, there, I'm sorry.
But
we'll pray for you, Josephine.
I was quite disturbed
exactly.
When I've always had a problem, until quite recently, actually, with confession. The way we were prepared, if it wasn't so serious, would be laughable, actually.
Sure.
And so I've always had a problem with it. But you were talking, and you were saying that if you ask someone, have you helped the poor? And they said no. Mm-hmm. And then they come back the following week and say, have you helped the poor? And they say no. You said, even if I give you absolution, you are not forgiven. That really disturbed me. Can you just explain it to me, please?
Sure. That was last week's homily, as a matter of fact,
yes,
so
I
you're
know.
Listening. Well, again, what is necessary for someone to be forgiven is a repentant heart. So let's say that you haven't repented. And so, like, for instance, let's say you say you're missing Mass on Sunday, but you're committing adultery and you have absolutely no desire to change. You're not going to change. Well, even if I give you absolution, to receive absolution, you need to be able to have repentance. That's what gives us that. We receive what God wants to give us. But you close yourself. It's like closing your hands when I want to give you $1 million. You can't take it unless you have a repentant heart. So it also goes the other way, meaning that for sins of omission, if you say, no, I don't take care of the poor and I'm not going to, well, you have an unrepentant heart, because in Matthew 25, Jesus says that, you know, to enter the kingdom, those who go into the kingdom are those, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me a drink, ta-ta-ta. So if you have no desire reach out to the poor and take care of the poor and do what God calls you, then even if I give you absolution, it doesn't stick because you don't have a repentant heart.
Does
that help? You got
it? Yeah, it does, because I was quite disturbed. I thought after, you know, getting absolution, you always feel liberated, if you like.
Sure.
And I thought, well, if you get absolution and you're not forgiven, then...
Well, the absolute, again, is always, the church is always taught what is necessary as a repentant heart to receive the grace. So, again, like if you're, you know, again, you just need to have that. So, on all ways. But absolutely, we want to give the power, but the power must be received. You know, so that's
yes,
the gift.
I understand.
Can I make you feel better, Josephine?
Yes, it does.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you very much indeed, and thank you for taking my call. And I'll pray for you here in Lourdes.
Please, Josephine, we'll pray for you too in Lourdes. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
I was going to tell her, but she's not the first person that's been disturbed by something you said.
Yeah, there you go. You have the letters, I'm sure, at EWTN. I got to have a big file by now.
It's
just like my bishop.
We have to have the mobile shredding truck come in now.
Exactly. There you go.
Next up for us, Northern Kentucky. Craig is in Northern Kentucky listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Craig, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Craig.
Hello, Father, from Lourdes to Kentucky. I tell
there you go. It's impressive. Pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish. And I guess I'm a groupie of yours too, Father. Appreciate you and your recommendations.
You.
And
did you wave at Josephine on the way by?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So what's up,
so Father? With your recommendations, you know, I'm thinking I'm feeling called to start like a men's group. Catholic men's group here in the area, and I just wanted to get your opinion, maybe your top picks of a Bible study, or just overall what you would recommend.
Okay,
for a small men's group.
Well, again, one of the thing that's a totally compact and to use it is that man is you. You know, you can download that, and it, you know, it's a 3-year program, and that man is you. You can do it. You watch a video, and then you have discussion. Another one to start, if you just use my Be a Man book, that's, you know, the questions and that are in there, but that's only a 10-week program. But, you know, one of the biggest things, if you just put in your parish bulletin or you ask your pastor that you want to start a men's group, if anybody's interested, I want to give you a little hint. The best time to do a men's group, if you want people to come, isn't at night, but early in the morning. Because if you get them at night, then these people who really want to grow close to the Lord don't want to leave their families. You know, but if they're there like at 6 o'clock in the morning and you'll say, you know, you'll start at 6 and you'll be out of there by 7 o'clock in the morning, they can still get to work. They can still spend time with their families and do all these things. So those are the ones that seem to work the best is the early morning ones. It doesn't have to be 6, 6:30, whatever it is, you know, but those are the ones where sometimes they get so many people, they don't know what to do with them. But there are, you know, That Man Is You is a altogether put together book. My book, Be a Man. There's a lot of stuff out there that works. You know, just doing a Bible study on what it is to have a man's heart. You know, there's one I'm doing right now for a new movie coming out, which I just go to every day. But there is, you know, and if you go to Formed. .org, a lot of parishes have that, and if you go to forum.org, they have so many Bible studies on there that you can download too. So there's a lot going on out there, but it's just finding the time and then doing it, and then there's a lot of materials. Does that help you, Craig?
Wonderful. Yes, we already have a Saturday morning group every other Saturday, so yep, I'm hoping to start something midweek, and yeah, I appreciate
sure.
you so much. Thank
there you.
You.
Go. Thank you. Thanks for calling. God bless you.
God bless you, Craig. We appreciate the phone call. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. We have an email from Jim. He writes in, "How should I handle jealousy, or should I say bitterness, toward my wife? She's in a club that goes out and socializes one night after work each week for 4 to 5 hours, and sometimes it's twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
She indicates that she does not want me around when she goes out because it's her night out, and she doesn't even want me to meet these people. How do I cope and trust her that she is doing this just to get away for a while from the husband, kids, and household? Any suggestions would be appreciated."
Well, I'd start doing my own night myself, you know, and start like, whoa. But that would send up some red flags to me. That's especially if she doesn't want you to know where she's going and meet these people. That'd be like, So I think it's saying something else is going on. So the biggest thing is, you know, there's so much. There's two things. One is that most Catholic charities have marriage counseling to sit there and start working on this because it can become a great issue. And then the second thing, if you don't want to do just go to marriage counseling, is there's a weekend retreat called Retrovi. And Retrovi is, I've sent lots of people there, and it's fixed things unbelievably. But if, you know, if she is just blowing off steam, then, you know, and she is going out with friends and nothing's going on there, well, you know, I think that she should know what that's like if you do the same thing. And if she has no problem, you know, not doing anything bad, we're not talking about sinning or anything, but you hanging out with friends and that too, all that could show like, oh, is this good, you know, that you get to do it, I get to do it, or do you do things together? You know, there's a lot of, you know, it's very hard to respond to this, and it's a 3-minute thing. But I would sit there, the first thing, if I was a priest, if you were in my parish, I'd say, why don't you both come in and talk to me, and then we can see what's going on. But I think to talk to somebody would be the first move.
All right, you ready to put your Thomistic hat on?
No, I'm not very good with having a Thomistic hat. We'll try.
Squeeze your melon into it anyway.
Okay.
Kim is watching on Facebook. Hi, Kim. How are you? She says, can you explain the meaning of God seeing something as a whole, as St. Thomas says in the Summa, but as humans we see things in pieces to get to the intended end? Along the same lines, does God allow natural disasters to take place because it's part of a greater plan?
Well, God is beyond time by definition. So God, we believe, is in an eternal now. So what does that mean? That means the world is being created now. The world is ending now. Jesus is on the cross now. Jesus is resurrecting now. Jesus is at the Last Supper now. So everything before God is now. We live through time. So even though, like, before God, at this very moment, you and I are already in heaven or hell because God's at that now time, we still have to live through the time of all this. And so when things happen, God knows they're going to happen, and he makes a promise that he can make all things work together for good. But isn't it interesting? He doesn't say he'll make all things work together for good in Romans 8:28 for everybody. He says God makes all things work together for good for those who are called by his decrees and who love him. You know, so those are the people that have said, okay, God, I want you to, in my life, I surrender it to you, so I want you to control my life, so he makes makes us this promise. Now, when it comes to us, sometimes we think things are very bad in our life that can become great blessings because God knows what's going to end up in the end. But so I think it's very important that we make the distinction, though, that God makes all things work together for good to those who love him and are called by his decrees, but he does not make all things together for good for everybody because that would be forcing his will on people. And he normally, when it comes to the loving thing, doesn't do that. But God can see beginning to end because he is now, but the rest of us only can see pieces because we have to live through time. I hope that's part of what you want me to answer your question.
You're a better, you're a better Dominican than you give yourself credit for. That was pretty solid. Hey, listen, but talk a little bit about preparing yourself daily for that moment, because when the moment hits, you can't give what you don't get, or you can't give what you don't have.
Exactly.
And these are the kinds of attitudes that we need to develop in the good times so that they're there for the bad times, huh?
And exactly. And then if we see all, like today, like if we surrender our life to him, and we need to trust him on this stuff. Like even today, the exaltation of the cross. Too many people just look at the cross as, oh, I got this cross and I have these crosses. But when we look at it from God's perspective, the cross is the instrument of love. It's the cross that brings us salvation. It's the cross that gives God gives his only son to set us free. It's the cross where we're not condemned by God, but we're redeemed by God. You know, and so the cross in all of our life, when these crosses happen, are literally instruments of love from God and to others that can be the most wonderful things in our lives. So part of it is looking at things the way God sees things. And the way to look at things the way God sees things is when we spend time with him in our prayer life. And it's really saying, Lord, help me to desire what you desire, to want what you want, to desire your will more than I want my next breath. And again, Mary's the greatest example of that, right? She was the first one, you know, Eve, when she said no to the will of God, she brought death and damnation and pain into the world. But Mary, when she said yes to God in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, when she says, let it be done to me according to your will. When we do that, we bring life and salvation to the world, just as Mary did. And it begins with us. It begins with our family. It begins with the people we touch. So surrendering ourselves to the will of God is the most wonderful and the first step of the spiritual life. It's the first step. Where Mary did it and where we do it too.
Whew. Preach, Father. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. We've got a line open for you at 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. 1-205-271-2985. EWTN's Open Line, Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I'm speaking here with Denise Bossert. I just finished an interview on her book, Gifts of the Visitation. 9 Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth is the title. So tell us, Denise, what's this book about?
The Visitation, I believe, is a blueprint for evangelizing. Our Lady makes it look like it's what we're born to do because it is what we're born to do. And we discover from her that the first thing she does after receiving our Lord is to go and share him with her relative Elizabeth. So she is the Christ sharer, the Christ bearer, and she calls us too, upon receiving the Eucharist, to be sent out, to go out and share and bear Christ.
Thank you so much, Denise Bossert. The book is Gifts of the Visitation, 9 Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth, published by Ave Maria Press, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Look for the entire interview coming soon to EWTN on Bookmark, and this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief, and thanks for joining us.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, be sure to keep it right here on EWTN Radio tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Catholic Answers Live, 2 hours of Q&A open forum. Hour number one, our very own Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan, followed by Jimmy Akin in hour number two. Again, Catholic Answers Live, 6 o'clock Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. Back to the phones we go, Father Larry. Kathy's driving through the great state of Ohio. She's watching on YouTube. Kathy, why are you watching on YouTube if you're driving through Ohio? I'm concerned.
She's listening on YouTube.
Listening on YouTube.
You're there in trouble.
Good job, Kathy.
No,
what's
really
up?
It's cool. The new YouTube has a listening feature, but thank you so much for taking the call, Father Larry Richards.
Thank you for calling.
And I just had a question about marriage. Obviously, the marriage definition within the Catholic Church is between a man and a woman, but in the United States, it leaves it open between man and man, woman and woman, sure. man mm-hmm. and woman. And so with this being said, my question is, I was having a discussion with my boyfriend, and we were talking about, you know, planning to get married. And one of the things we were talking about is a future family and how we would raise our children with these two different definitions of our faith and our culture. And I told them that I told him that I would want to, you know, let them know about our, what our culture believes, but also that, you know, plant a seed that the faith definition is the correct definition of what a marriage is. My boyfriend agrees that a marriage to him is between a man and a woman, but he was telling me that if, for example, our child was, you know, 16 and he wanted to take a boyfriend to the prom, he would want to, you know, give him the car to be able to take his boyfriend to the prom. And if he was looking to get married to his boyfriend outside of the church, then he would want to be there to support him with that out of love, even though he personally disagreed that that was the definition of marriage. And I was just kind of having trouble trying to digest this with, you know, I know that this opinion of my boyfriend is coming out of love and
well, sure.
wanting to be loving, but
and
it concerned
again,
me at the same time.
I don't think, for you know, the teaching of the church is very clear, and we need to proclaim that with our being. It's part of evangelizing is truth, but we don't tell other people how to live. I mean, this is part of the problem. You know, we don't tell people if they want to do those things, but we can say that marriage is a term, though, that the church started. I mean, it's part of beyond, you know, it's a thing about a God. Now, if two men want to live together, if they want to do all the stuff, again, we are not a Muslim country. We do not have Sharia law where we tell people this is the way you're going to live or we will kill you. Our job is to sit there and proclaim the truth of the gospel. And the truth is stronger than any kind of lies that are out there. But when people are doing things that are apart from what the truth of the gospel does, we need to do everything in our power to pray for them to the fullness of the faith, that they would come to know that. So what we do with everybody is we love them into the truth. Huh? Now, so when if your boyfriend doesn't sit there and, because again, he's sitting there looking at it from not knowing the fullness of the truth, probably, and so that he needs to come to know that and to know that, you know, when God calls us to live in such a way, he isn't calling us to hurt us. He's calling us to set us free from slavery. He's calling us to set us free to live forever. That what God's call is a wonderful call. And so I think that sometimes we come off as so strong and condemning of people, you know, when that is not the mission of the church and it's not the mission of God. You know, now again, they can separate themselves from God forever, but God does everything in his power as God to save all of us. So again, what we do with all these people is we love them into the faith. Now, how we love them into the faith is different because, again, Jesus loved people into the faith two different ways. The great sinners, he was very gentle on. The Pharisees, he was very hard on. You could even say harsh. So it depends. But both of those things were in love. So as I've said a million times, that before we ever speak truth, we need to let people know that we love them first. And then first comes love and comes truth. They come hand in hand, but it has to always be done in love. Now, again, we hear this question comes up almost every week for whatever reason on my show, you know. So, but again, it's always speak the truth and love, speak the truth and love, and you always need both. Does that help?
I think it's because it's such a hot issue in our culture today. And
it is.
I was reading the article from the Pope with a French sociologist. And that kind of sparked the conversation, which I think is a good one, you know, before we were to possibly get married, to, you know, think of these, you know, possibilities. But at the same time, I was wondering, would this, you know, my role as, you know, a woman would, you know, if I were to get married, would also be to support my husband. And I'm trying to wonder, would that be a smart decision for me? I'm trying to discern.
I have 3 minutes with you on the thing. I'm not the one to tell you that, and you shouldn't ask me for that. You need to find a spiritual director for that, and a spiritual director that can sit here and walk you through this. Because again, you have to watch your, you know, you don't want to unequally yoke yourself, but at the same time, he might be on the same road as you, but he's just not there yet. You know, like, again, many years ago, Jack's wife married him, with him being a pagan the way he was, and still he kept coming over, and he eventually became Catholic, but she still entered in a relationship with him. But he was Christian, weren't you, Jack?
I was.
Christian. Yeah, so, but again, no, so, but you still gotta, you need a spiritual director. And the best thing I can tell you to sum it up as easily as I can is that in his will is our peace. So if you don't have peace, then it's a good sign that there isn't anything right. But you got to make sure you do take all this to God in prayer. Okay, Kathy.
Gave a lot of shed a lot of light and love in there without even maybe knowing. There, he has, you know, come such a long way. When we first started,
sure,
was pro-abortion, and you know,
sure,
I think that love is very powerful. Especially when it's through the lens of God. So thank you.
There you go. God bless you.
Nice job. Good phone call there, Kathy. We appreciate it. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. We head now to Mary, who's also in the great state of Ohio, listening to EWTN Radio. Mary, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mary. What's up?
Hi, Father Larry. I have a teenage daughter in high school.
Okay.
And she she has two girlfriends that she has been friends with in high school, and they're a year older than her, so they graduated last year. And they told her that they were gay,
mm-hmm.
and they both ended up going to the same college and are rooming together.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, wants to maintain her friendship with them,
mm-hmm.
And neither of them have any kind of religious background or upbringing at all, so they really don't have any perspective as far as where she is coming from
sure.
and her beliefs,
mm-hmm.
Which she has made those known to her, and they were upset at first, but they talked about it and said that they respected her and her standing by what she believed in.
Wow, that's good.
But she wants to continue the friendship as if nothing is different. So she has asked me if she can, she's going to be going to that college for a college visit, and she wants to go up there and spend the night in their dorm room
mm-hmm.
during her college visit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, again, I
think you're answering your own question there, Mary.
Yeah, I would not sit there, especially because your daughter and she's still being formed and all this kind of stuff. Now, I would sit there and say she, you know, to stay in is with friends with them would be absolutely, because, you know, it's amazing how they respect us, but we don't respect them in some ways. And so we got to respect them and respect what they believe and da da da. But we don't have to agree with it. At the same time, to let your daughter go up and spend an overnight with two lesbians in their room, I would not do that myself, you know.
was my thought, but
yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, again, because again, she's still being formed, and it's just, you know, no, you got to do what you want. I'm not telling you what to do in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That's not my job. My job is to help you discern God's will. And again, as I talked with the last caller, in his will is our peace. So if you don't have peace with this, then I would sit there and say, no, of course you can still say hi to them, visit them, be friends with them, but you can't stay over there with them. Is that helpful?
Okay, thank you, Father.
God bless you, Mary. Appreciate the phone call. You know, Father Larry, EWTN's publishing now.
I know. Oh, my.
And available
they do
now.
Nice stuff. Well, it's very classy.
And available now at EWTN Religious Catalog is the latest Mother Angelica little mini book. And it's well, that's not, I shouldn't have said mini book. It's a small book. How about that? Yeah. Mother Angelica on Prayer and Living for the Kingdom. And what it is, this small volume is a collection of 10 of her mini books. All put into one volume on the same topic. That's outstanding. It brings together for the very first time her timeless advice on how to deepen your prayer life and achieve your ultimate purpose. That's eternity in heaven with Jesus. Mother Angelica on Prayer and Living the King for the Kingdom is available at EWTNRC.com. Back to the phones we go. Larry is in Jerome, Michigan, listening to EWTN on Good Shepherd Radio.
Hi, Gary.
Gary, you're on with Father Larry.
Good afternoon.
What's up?
Hey, thank you very much for the wonderful shows that you guys put on. Jack and Father Larry, you're awesome.
Thank you.
That's very kind of you, Gary. Thanks.
Well, I'd say more, and, well, you get the drift.
There you go. Good.
I'm a new Catholic.
Welcome.
Over the years, as a Protestant, I learned so much by going to Bible studies. I guess average of 7 months a year, one time or sometimes two times a week, and just going through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
With the new evangelization, if I was to summarize that in one sentence, what do we want to do? Is to teach more about Christ so we follow Christ better.
Absolutely.
His will. Isn't that a boiled down version of the whole thing?
Absolutely. And that's why, to me, evangelization is all about the Word of God. You know, and like I'm very big on no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Meaning you don't read, you don't eat breakfast in the morning until you read from God's Word, and you don't go to bed at night until you read from God's Word. You know, St. Jerome says, ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Christ. And so when we evangelize, and even Catholics, if I have to tell Catholics one more time, they need to read the Bible every day. It's not an option. It's not like, oh, if you want to know Jesus, then you got to spend time in his word. So you go and you get it and you read it every day. That's what's important in my opinion, you know, but it's also what God wants of us.
What did Jesus do in the desert when he was tempted by the devil?
He took the word of God and shoved it down the devil's throat. It's so
better
important.
Believe it.
We sit there and spend time with the word every day if we want to go strong. So 100% with you, Gary. And you,
my question.
Okay.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
We have all kinds of books I'm just used to just, if I was to tell anyone, what would you read in the Bible? Proverbs 8, number 1.
Okay.
What's more important than knowledge, and that knowledge is of Christ.
Sure.
Then go on into pick your book, or pick your gospel, go and read it. Just read
it. Sure. That's what I think all the time.
Why aren't we really pushing for Bible study?
Well, we are, and there is, maybe not in your area, but I know in my area, and I know if you're in you're in Wisconsin.
He's in Michigan.
So you have Father Ricardo, who's very much into the scriptures up there and pushes that all the time. I mean, it is growing in the church, this whole movement of Catholics. I think for so many years, Catholics just saw it as a Protestant thing, and that was part of the problem. But now we need to really, this isn't a Protestant thing. It's an all of our thing, you know, so it's important. So I'm with you, Gary.
God bless you, brother. We appreciate the phone call, Gary. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. We've still got time to talk to you at 1-800-585-9396. That's the number Mike used. He's in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, listening to EWTN on WSFI Radio. Mike, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mike.
Hi there.
What's up?
I got a question that's been plaguing me for some time. By the way, Father Larry, I got a couple of your CDs. They're really fine.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Go ahead. Right. What's up?
Okay, I'm an artist at heart. I can draw a portrait that'll floor you.
Nice.
I haven't created a work of art in many years because I'm a fine art artist at heart. I'm not going to do commercial art. And in the past, I made next to nothing, no money doing it. So the thing is, Jesus says in one of the Gospels, we must use whatever talents, skills, and abilities that God gave us.
Sure.
You know the story about a master leaving, he gave three servants X amount of money, and they did.
Sure,
whatever.
Absolutely.
One was prosperous, one made a little bit of money, one planted his money in the ground and just sat on his rear and did nothing.
You got it.
So we're supposed to use whatever skills we have, okay?
Sure.
Didn't say you had to use them to make a living, though.
Yeah.
Here's my conundrum, okay? Well, I'm retired. I got money coming in. Here's the conundrum, all right?
Sure.
I haven't created any work of art in years. A, if I do, I'm going to use lots of time and effort. I might not make a nickel at it. B, if I don't, I'm not using whatever skills and abilities God gave me. I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. What do
well,
I do?
You're retired, so, I mean, anything you do, I mean, people will pay for it. But if you want to make a fortune, you start doing, you know, saint portraits and pictures for churches and that, and people will pay you well, and a church will pay you well. The problem is that so much, I was going to say garbage out there, but it's like, you know, that they, you know, you want to draw a picture of the Blessed Mother, it looks like a picture of the Blessed Mother, then people will pay for that. I just got a beautiful icon, the St. Joseph for the Bread of Life. And I paid the girl who did an unbelievable job at that $30 an hour, you know, and so, her time was worth $30 an hour. And I had absolutely no problem with doing that. And so if you're really good, I would sit there and draw some, religious pictures and religious statues. And also you can take that stuff and then you can make copies and you can put it on eBay. You can put it on Amazon. You can make a fortune. People do it every day. So, but use it for God's glory, not to make money. And then you'll make money.
There you go.
If you do it to make money, you're not going to make any money and you'll still go to hell. You do it for God's glory and he will bless you. I promise you, Michael.
Make it a prayer, Mike.
Exactly. You do it and watch God will bless it. He just will. I promise you, promise you, promise you. Okay? Does that help?
Years ago, a religious painting, I worked on and off for 3 years. It was just an idea that I had. I thought I would create. Right now, that painting is sitting in my bedroom gathering dust.
Does it look any good?
Any good? It's a mind blower. It's like a Salvador Dali. Are you kidding?
Well, Salvador...
How many people come into your bedroom to see it, Mike?
Sure. If you took a picture of it and you put it on eBay, I'll bet you'd make some money. I mean, you should see what they sell on eBay.
Well,
and you can go ahead.
Not to mention, Father Larry, that if you maybe take a deep breath, make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, and think for a moment about what all of our efforts should always be oriented toward.
Sure.
And that's bringing people into a deeper relationship
with the Lord. Listen to Jack. But again, Michael, you pray about it, and you ask the Lord what he wants you to do, and you do what you do for Jesus and nobody else, even if you don't make a dime. But I promise you, you'll make a dime if you do it for the Lord's will, and you do it for his pleasure.
1-800-585-9396. We've still got some time for your phone call. Calls at 1-800-585-9396. Dear Father Larry, writes Catherine, how can I evangelize a friend who thinks that God manifests himself in all religions? She believes that God is Allah for the Islamic people, Yahweh for the Jewish people, and the Trinity for Christians.
Well, the church has always taught that there are vestiges of truth in most religions. You know, there's vestiges of truth, meaning that they have some part of God. They just don't know the fullness of faith. Like almost every religion will tell you we're called to love God and love one another. So that's a true statement, right? No matter what. But they don't have the fullness of the faith. So the only way we know the fullness of the faith is that someone came and told us what that faith was, and that's what Jesus did. And so Jesus is the only one that says, I am who am. Or before Abraham was, I am. He explicitly takes the word God and applies it to himself. There is no other religion that did that. Muhammad sure didn't do that. He just said he was a prophet. You know, Buddha, in no way claimed to be a god. Buddha was just an enlightened man. It was a philosophy. So the only one that came and said that he was God was Jesus. And he proved that by rising from the dead. You know, and so we can't sit there and say, so I often say, so let's look at truth. One thing can't be true for everything. Truth has to be objective, means it's true for everybody. So if I say Jesus is God, and our faith teaches that, and if Jesus isn't God, if he's just a prophet, then it's not true. Objectively, even if I believe it to be true, doesn't make it true. So somewhere beyond all this, it's a philosophical statement that truth has to be true for everybody or it's not true for anybody, period. You know, subjective and objective must meet to have real truth. And so when everybody has their own truth, that's when we have great problems. You know, but is God revealed in some way in all these religions? Yes. But is God the fullness revealed? No. And that's what we talk about and what we push.
You know, you're going to fiddle around and make yourself a philosopher here before too long.
No, stop. I'm going to drive me crazy.
Jonathan's watching on YouTube. Hi, Jonathan. He says, does the church offer laity anything to hand out for evangelization? Would handing out sacramentals be a good idea?
Oh, the St. Paul Evangelist, the Street Evangelization Group does that unbelievably. And I do the same type thing. For years, I give out miraculous medals. And that's what they do. They stand on the streets and hand out miraculous medals. And if you ever, you know, with the Mary Foundation years ago, the book, I forget what it's even called now, but you know, it was all about finding miraculous metal. And so great things can happen, and that's why, like, I can't, whenever I go to a hotel, I don't just give a tip at the end on the bed. I always give miraculous metal and a little card with that. So I think that's great evangelization and great ways to do the new evangelization in an old way.
1-800. Why am I giving the phone number out? We got 3 minutes left in the program.
Sorry,
Don't do it.
You're not allowed to call people. Sorry.
It's not even three. It's not even 3 o'clock Central Time yet. I ought to be functioning a little better than this.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a good one for you. George is watching on YouTube, and George says, "Hi, Father Larry. Are Catholics supposed to read the Bible?" He says, just kidding.
Well, at least someone's paying attention. That's all I can say. For most people, it goes in one ear and out the other. I'm going to keep doing what I always do, Father. Shut up. I'm not listening to you. Okay.
Well, and the irony of it is that we wrote it, right?
Exactly. It's the fullness of the truth. And if you want to know Jesus, you're not going to know. Read his word. Anyway.
So, Father Larry, where are you going? Good. You got anything coming up here?
I am going down next week. I was supposed to be in Venice, Florida this week. By God's grace, I'm not there because they canceled. But next week I go to, where am I going? I'm doing a parish mission in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And it's a Broadheadsville, Our Lady Queen of Peace Church in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania.
Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Absolutely. And so that'll be a fine thing down there. Well, so I'll be coming to you and being on the radio, God willing, next week from that parish. So I'll talk more about it next week.
Awesome. And We certainly want to keep all the people down in Florida. I'm assuming you spoke to the people down in Venice. Are they getting along all right other than...
Yes, everything is, and I have a lot of friends down there, so I've talked. In fact, the one that got it the worst was in Jacksonville. Who'd ever thought Jacksonville got it so bad, but they got it really bad.
One of the first EWTN radio affiliates in the country located in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and they're good people. I'm going to be down there for their Eucharistic Congress this summer, or this spring. So they're good people, so we're praying that all that stuff's went down. I haven't heard recently, but I'm thinking it has.
Well, we certainly keep them. What are you doing in your diocese? I know there are collections being taken up in many dioceses for disaster relief.
We took a big one last week for
Harvey.
For the last Harvey. So they were just asking today, you think we're going to take one for Irma? I says, hopefully they're going to split it and not give it all to Texas, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, and keep, listen, it's easy for, it's out of sight, out of mind, and once a new storm comes, the people in the old storm tend to get left behind, but there's plenty of suffering to go around, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Father, would you leave us with a
people?
Would you leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. Father God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing on everyone who's listening to us now. Bless them and give them peace in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, producer Michael McCall, our call screener, Mr. Matt Gubensky, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I am merely Jack Williams. Back at it tomorrow with our Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan, in the house. Until we get together then, God bless.